所以讲方面的这个也是要 refreshing 本身做的是要新奇的建立的时候 anyone tell me what is that and what is the purpose someone did I stay and go
in the loo
and
go what is it going on
sorry I don't know no
don't mention
so the bitch I get very wrong
is it a light?
No.
Paperweight?
I'm never going to use it as a paperweight, so it's not. Okay. I'll let you know, even though you've given lots of very good suggestions, that's actually an espresso tamper. Okay, so when they put the coffee into the container, they press it there. That's what that does. I've got another picture. Okay. All right. Yeah. I think it's coming. Jenny's doing this hard thing up there. Press it in, Jenny. There we go. Anyone know what that is?
What?
A corkscrew. I guess it would look like that, but it's not a corkscrew. It's got something to do with that sort of thing. I think no, that's a good try, because it could be used as a ladder.
I've got a wild guess.
A wild guess.
It's obviously it makes a hole in a vat of some sort.
In a vat?
Yeah, like a wine vat or something, a hole.
Well, you're actually getting much closer there. Not cheese either.
It's Swiss cheese.
Actually, it does cut a hole, it actually cuts the paper hole for a hole in a wine vat. Or a spigot. So anyway, you've got two things that we've shown you and you want to try to work out what it is and you know what its purpose is. Today we're going to ask the question, what is the purpose of the church? And what is its purpose? Okay, and some of you are already thinking about some things. What is the purpose of the church? Well, before we go into that, I actually think maybe it's good to remind ourselves what is the church. What is it? Because we know about the church, okay, we often talk about a church connected to something. But a church is not a building. It's very clear in the Bible. The church is not a building. And a church is a group of God's people. A local group, we often see in the Bible talks about it and uses the word assembly. And in fact, the church background that we come from is where we actually have a name. We call the assembly. That is simply a gathering together of a group of people. A gathering together. That's what a church is. And it's God's plan. God planned for the church. God planned for this church. He did. He planned for it to be here. And he actually planned for every one of you to be sitting in these seats today. And even though some of you might have decided, no, I really didn't come, God knew about that, and he still knew whether you were here or not. You're here, it's his plan for you to be here. Not only that, but this church has got a tremendous foundation, a very special foundation. The foundation is Jesus Christ. Now, if I was to speak about Jesus as the foundation, I'd say that Jesus is the life of the church. Without him, there is no church. There is no real life. We might as well be just simply a group that gathers like any other club that meets in all sorts of places. Without Christ, he gives us our life. He also gives us our protection. Jesus said that nothing will break down this church. Nothing. He's our protection and he's also our direction. But now I come back to the original question, so what is God's purpose for the church? And let's make it a bit more personal. What's God's purpose for Step CC, if you want to think about it like that? Step CC is us, St. Clair Earth and Park Christian Church. What is God's purpose for us? And what's he want for us? I mean, in the last, I don't know, probably 10 or so years, there's been a real growth of interest in the idea of what is the purpose of churches. And there's been books written, and all these different churches are putting into practice their thoughts and ideas. Some people think they're really good, I just think, well, they want that, So I think that's quite a lot. Well, we're not going to look at particular books except for one. We're going to have to think about what does the Bible say is the church's purpose, and be more specific, what does the Bible say is our purpose here in the church? What does he want for us? We're not going to look at Sinclair Anglican, we're not going to look at the United Church, we're looking at what is God's purpose for you and I, and his people here. That's what we want to do. And Steve and I spent a bit of time having a look. Related to God's word, and we feel that there are probably two strands to God's purpose, like two paths. Okay, and the first path is God's purpose for his people. Okay, what he wants for you and I. You might say, what is God doing for his people? That's one side of it. There is another side, and it's God's purpose from his people, and we're like, what does God expect from us? And these two strands go together. The first one, what is God doing for us? What is providing for us, if you like, his foundation? It's the basis, because everything else falls apart unless this part happens. What is God doing for us? It will fall apart. I use the word foundation. This is not a big foundation, this building. It's solid, okay? The timber has been affected once. You have to speak for it, it's not quite here. But some of the ladies with the high heels were remember going through the wood. And for the white ants paid through the timber. But the actual foundation is below the timber. There's a great big concrete slab. And that concrete slab is very firm. But when we talk about this foundation and connecting with the church, there's sort of two ideas present. There is one, this solidness, this, you know, completeness, but it's still a process. Now, I don't know if anyone's ever seen a sculpture. There's a few artists in here, and you've got a sculpture, and the sculptor knocks out the basic shape. And his sculpture can be finished, but he actually then decides, no, I'm going to chip it and refine it. And the foundation of the church is, in fact, a bit like that. It's solid, but it's being refined. You know, the chips are being knocked off. It's being made more and more towards what God wants. And this purpose, this what God is doing for us, is really important. And the second part, that second strand, is what God expects from us, rises out of that foundation. And there are three things that God expects. He wants us to be a picture of Christ to others. And that's what he wants from us. Second one, he wants us to be a source of praise to God. That's what he wants from us. And the third one is that we have to preach God's message, to proclaim his message. Those are the three things. Now, over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at those things, but today we're going to look at the first strand, that foundational one. And I just want to remind you, because I know that a lot of you here are probably saying, oh, I know most of that sort of stuff. I know what the foundation of the church is. I've got a pretty good idea what the purpose of the church is. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. Peter said this. He says, so I will always remind you of these things. So Peter's saying, I'm going to remind you of these things. He then says, even though you know them. Even though you know them. Peter was reminding his people that he was writing this letter to about things they already knew, and today were in the same sense reminding you of things that most of you know. God's purpose for his people. In Ephesians chapter 4, we read a few words, and I think it might that's the one. Ephesians chapter 4, let me just read half of it there. It says, verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. The word body of Christ is another name for the church. Learn more about that at another time. But it says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of Jesus, or of the Son of God, and notice the next few words, and become mature. And the last part, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. God's purpose is for us to become mature in Christ, to become mature people, mature like Jesus in every way. The Good News Bible says it like this, the last part of verse 13. So so that we shall become mature people, reaching to the very height of Christ's full stature. In other words, God has a purpose for us, and that purpose is maturity. So that each one of us is in fact looks like, acts like, and is, if for everyone else around them, Jesus Christ. That's what he wants for you. That's his purpose for you. Just notice in this room as I think that's cool. You don't think I look very much like Jesus. Well, certainly I don't. In fact, I'm a lot older than Jesus. Jesus died at a much younger age than mine. Probably didn't look like him. But I'm not talking about my looks, am I? I think you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about my attitudes, the way I act, the things I think about, the way that I live. That is what God wants from each one of us. And he wants for us, that is maturity in Christ. But one of the dangers we face in the church is we see a world in great need. They need to be saved. We can see a world that's starving, and we think, boy, there's a great need there. We can see a world that needs justice because there's so much injustice in our world today. We look at people who are suffering and have discomfort and we want to say, let's provide care for them. And the danger the church faces is God wants you and I to be Jesus Christ in our lifestyle and actions. But we often can actually blame and move away from that main cause and do other things. We can actually prepare and plan evangelistic episodes and events, classes, all sorts of things, and begin to lose sight of the primary purpose that God has for us to be mature in Christ. Now remember I said maturity in Christ, the second strand is the result of that. Maturity in Christ is something that we will show, and then it will begin to show itself in reaching people and showing care. But remember I said the foundation is still being chipped away. I can still be involved in some evangelistic event. I am most Tuesdays. I'm going to Scripture. Then some of the other ladies, they go to Scripture. Others are doing some natural classes or other things. We're all involved. Are we exactly like Jesus now? No. We're still having the, the chips on, knocking me around a bit, knocking some of the rough stuff off. And it's making me more and more like his son. But in the process of becoming more and more like the Son, he's saying, no, I'm not going to get you. And he's saying to us, the church, you, my purpose for you is to be Christ-like. And then, when you're becoming like that, then you'll be able to reach out. So God's purpose for his people is maturity in Christ. But there's maturity expressed in another way, and in the next verse, which follows on from the ones there, in Ephesians 5, I'll read it to you. The red funny, Jesus had his promise. It's my fault, Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14 says this, which other side of maturity, then we will no longer be infants. Tossed back and forth by waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their sinful schemes. Maturity is also growing up. And I have to tell you, some of us need to grow up. The Bible says in a number of places, Paul wrote to people and said, why are you still having milk when you should be having meat? And some of us need to grow up. Be mature. And sadly, not just ourselves, but the church as a whole is struggling in this area. We are still infants and we get tossed here and there and everybody comes up with this new idea and we think that sounds great, but it's very untrue. We want to watch it, we want to find this protection, and we need it now. We need that protection of maturity. There are so many ideas, so many beliefs, so many practices that are placed in front of us as the world we live in that have said, this is a good thing, do it. And it's easy to get swept along. And if a poor youth is a really good example, like a boat, blown along by the wind. David was out yesterday, he said, on the barge, one of the anchors came up. The wind blowing the barge started to move, and that hit the drill, started to they had to pull everything out. The wind started to move it. They couldn't continue on. Well, in the Christian life, maturity is a straight line following Christ, and when the wind hits, we can cope with it. We're not pushed aside here and there. So maturity is important, and we really need that protection. I'm sitting out here, I think today a catch cry is the same as that of judges, the day of the judges of Israel. The catch cry was this. There was no leader or king in Israel in those days. Everyone did what was right in his own sight. And today many of us, even in the church, are living the same way. Each one of us does what is right in our own sight. Our own sight. Not biblical sight, just what we think is right. So we need this maturity. And what's really special is that God wants it for you. You know that He wants you to be mature. He wants you to be mature. That's His purpose for it. What does God then provide for it to happen? How does God help you and I become mature? Well, I've got some answers for you. And the first one is that He gives us the Word. His Word. Someone would describe it as our food. Biblical food, if you like. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus says, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Our spiritual food is His Word, God's Word. And God has given it to us. He hasn't given this type of His Word to us. But you know, that's exactly how many of us ask. Here's the Word of God, and He's giving it to us. We don't pick it up, we don't look at it. And if you want to know, God wants maturity for you, He's given you His Word. He's given you His Word. We need to be reading it. Jesus Himself said, we can't live by bread alone, but we can live by every word of God. Jesus, I don't think we're talking about just simply physical life. He's talking about the life that goes beyond this physical world. He's talking about life eternal. That's the sort of direction you want to be heading. I'll just read a couple of other verses that are not on the screen. Another one is Acts chapter 20, verse 32. It says, now I commit to you, Paul said, and the word, or rather, I commit to you to God, and the word is grace. The word is grace. Paul is saying, I'm committing God's word of grace to you. It's great news, this special thing that He's done. And he ends this, which can build you up. Building up is to become mature. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, 3, on the screen. It says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. We're called upon them to look at the Word and to grow up. It's our food. So be encouraged. God has given His message to you. Become it. To you. Let's stop and think about it for a minute. Think about yourself. And you're not very special. God has given His Word for you. To you. And sometimes many of us actually don't realise what a privilege and pleasure it can be. Be encouraged. God has given His message to you. Part of the challenge that we face is we've got Bible studies going here through the week, different groups get together. Lord willing, we plan to have a study a series again in the third term. There might be a whole distance survey that runs 8 to 10 weeks. It'll be something where we are looking together at God's Word. More than what we saw doing here in a slightly different way. That's a plan. Because God has a purpose for us, and part of what we should be doing is providing opportunities for that. And there are lots of opportunities already in terms of study. So be encouraged. But another thing He gives us, He gives us a structure. He's given us leaders and He's given us gifts. In Acts chapter 20 we read about some biblical leaders. Verse 17 it says, from our leaders, Paul sent to the church of Ephesus for the elders of the church. Now I'll jump down a few verses and we come to verse 28. And Paul's still speaking to those men when they come. He says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers or elders. It's the same word. Be shepherds of the church of God which He bought with His own blood. God has given the church leadership, direction. Pretty hard to talk about because I'm one of the elders, but I'm talking about myself a bit here. It's not easy. Don't like that. But we've been given a responsibility, a task to complete. You know what that means? You've got to trust us. If God has placed us in this position, it's also He's asking you to trust us. And I know at times that's not easy. And I'm sure there are times when we don't want to. Okay, I know some people have got to do that. Okay, you know, I just want to say thank you if you have trusted us. And pray that you want to continue to do that. Because God has given us the responsibility. And it's not us to be ourselves, He's God is judging us. So God has given us some leaders. I guess each of us is a leader in the problem, but I wish we could be better at something. But not only has He given us leaders, in the passage that Elliot read for us earlier, it said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it was He, this is God, who gave some to be. And He gave a list of different men. He gave some to be, verse 12, to prepare. And every one of us has been given some gift to prepare one another. And we'll talk more about that. So if God has given us a structure and He's given us gifts to use, not to hold on to it for ourselves, but to use. And the final thing, only there's a number of them here, except four, okay, so it's going to go for a while. God gives us, if you like, community or corporate activities. That's what He's provided for us. The first one is fellowship. Fellowship. Acts chapter 2, verse 44, it says all the believers were together. They held everything in common. Verse 46, it says, and every day they continued to meet together. They were together. Hebrews chapter 10, well-known verse, it says, let us not give up meeting together. I just picked out two verses, or a couple of verses, that talk about being together. It's fellowship, being together. But notice 1 John chapter 2 verse 19. It should come up on the screen, I think. Okay, it says, they went out from us. Now John's writing, he's writing to a group of Christians, and he said, a group of Christians went out, or supposed Christians went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. Because if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that they did not belong. They did not belong. I mean, this particular verse talks about fellowship as a belonging to one another. And it even says there are some who claim to be part of the group that they really aren't. And they're not staying, in fact, shows that. There is a sense of belonging. A belonging to one another. A belonging that's really, I think, surpassing most family ties. And there are a lot of family ties that are very special. I think I exist in a family situation like that. It has a very close family time. But there are other families that don't experience that at all. And so they don't know that sort of closeness. But you know, the fellowship that we enjoy as brothers and sisters in Christ, as His people, should surpass even that time. It should surpass it. The problem is that for most of us who've enjoyed that sort of fellowship and that closeness for a long time, we actually begin to overlook it. We sort of overlook that sense of fellowship. And you know, it's really sad. We don't know if we've got it until it sometimes is gone. We don't realise it. That specialness of this fellowship is ours. But you know, I can quench that sense of specialness by my anger, maybe by disagreement, by my stubbornness. The opportunity for fellowship is there. Why? Not because I'm there, but God has provided it. He is the one who's given us this sense of specialness together. He's given it to us. He's provided it for us. And if He's provided the opportunity of fellowship for us, I think He probably thinks it's important. The question, I guess, we'll ask you to do. He's provided fellowship. Another thing He's provided is prayer. Now we can all pray. It's a real simple freedom to be able to say, speak to God. Now a lot of people do this. A lot of people bow their heads. But remember, prayer is simply talking with God, and you can do it with your eyes open or whatever. But I'm not talking about what praying is. I'm talking about praying as a group. Because it's really interesting how often in the New Testament, not in the times of Jesus, But after this time, how often prayer is connected with a group of people praying. Not just one individual off here or there, but a group of people praying. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John had been taken in the temple and then freed. They came back and the group, the church, got together and said, they prayed together, they raised their voices together in prayer. Together they did. Verse 31 of the same chapter, it says, after they prayed, not after the disciple or Peter or John, after they prayed together, it says, the whole place was shaken. Chapter 12, when Peter's in prison again, it says, the whole church was praying. They were praying together. And it says it a number of times in that particular chapter. Acts chapter 21. Paul is about to leave, and it says, and all the disciples from Mary were about to leave him, and their wives, and their children, it says, they accompanied us out of the city, and together we prayed. Corporate prayer, community prayer, is something that God has given for us. And remember, this is actually answering the question, how does God want us to become mature? And all the things we've been talking about is actually getting us to become mature. We need to be praying and praying together. Another thing that you have is the opportunity to worship. Worship and praise, in fact, are just acts of expressing our appreciation, our thanksgiving, our thankfulness to what God has done. I sometimes think, because people think there's a difference between praise and worship. I think there is. Life is a simple thinking and it probably needs more work. But I think praise is actually my response to what God has done. I think sometimes worship is my response to who God is. I think there's a little difference there. But both of those are things that we can do individually. But we'll also notice how often does it happen together. The natural thing happens together. We are to praise God. One particular activity that Jesus encouraged his followers to do was the communion service, as is known in many other churches. We often say the Lord's Supper or the breaking of bread. An opportunity to together to thank God, to praise him. And we notice again, Acts chapter 2, it says they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, as they were gathering and meeting together. And Paul said, when I heard what Jesus has done and what I was told, he says, I committed that to you. And he said this, and whenever Jesus said he lived this bread and he drank this cup, he says, you proclaim the Lord's death. He says, you proclaim my death until I come. So we have to also be involved in worship. Another area that's moulding, if you like, you know, making us more and more mature, is the idea of community service, mutual ministry, if you like, working together. There are a number of passages in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, both 12, maybe you need to remember. It talks about the body. And it's talking about the body of Christ, that is the church. And it talks about the body is working together. And it talks about in those two chapters, attitudes that should make a mark of you and I, our attitude to one another, and also an attitude of unity together. That is something really important. Now there are different types of unity. This brick wall has got a unity and similarity in it. Every brick is basically like the others, is that right? Basically, they're similar, correct?
Yeah.
There you go. And the wall works together because it holds up the roof. It's actually barred to the roof. Okay? But it's doing something, it's protecting us from the sun and the wind outside of the moon. That's a unity and similarity. But you know, the unity of the church is different. It's a unity in diversity. That's how it's described. Unity in different ways. And I'll use a car because it's a car analogy. Okay. Is every part in a car like anything? But when every part is working together in the car, does the car go?
Yeah.
That's a unity of diversity. That's different things working together. That's what the church is like. We're all different. When we're working together, everything's going well. It's going well. And so we're called to work together. This unity, the sense of working together. And you know, that is a very special ingredient that many people say, why is it it's not working? Because I do read my Bible. I do try and help. I do pray. I do come to the faith and the bread. The important ingredient is, are you doing it together? We are to do these things together. I come back to Ephesians chapter 4. And even after we read it, we see you go to prepare. Verse 13, and it says the start of verse 13, until we all reach. We're meant to be all moving towards maturity. All growing up. Verse 16, it says, the last part of 16, it says, grows and builds itself up in love. And each part does its work. We're meant to be growing, working together. So Paul emphasizes growth together, not self-growth, if you like. Or not, gee, I'm going to be better than everybody else in this room by my study. But in fact, that's danger that the church is to fall into. We're meant to be working together. Paul prayed that all of the saints together would know the wonderful love of God. So a Paul prayer at the end of Ephesians chapter 3, that they would grow together so that all the saints would know this wonderful love. We are going together. The church makes progress when we all progress together. Now, at times some of us might grow a bit faster than others, but the point is, are we still growing? Whether it's fast or slow, we need to be growing. We're all to contribute, we're all to grow together. God wants more, your maturity. And He's provided all of these things that I've mentioned very briefly today so that it can happen. So that you can be mature. So you should be getting excited. God wants you to be mature. Okay? That's what He's got to do. But are you getting excited about what can I do to the person beside me? Or the one behind, or in front? Get excited about what you can do for them, because remember, we're to be maturing in Christ together. We're meant to work together. Paul had another prayer. This one is a really good one, and if you might like to probably send a good message on this one. Just one verse. Galatians chapter 4:19, he says, my dear children, for whom I am again in pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you. All this experiencing the pain of wanting the birth to occur and see them form Christ. He wants to see that happen to become mature. He's experiencing childbirth. Most of us guys don't understand much of that point. But the ladies do. Childbirth, the pain of childbirth. And Paul said, that's what I feel like, to see Christ mature in you. The movie The Hide, The Witch in the Wardrobe, I haven't seen, but I have read the book. And the lion called Aslan dies towards the end of the book for the sins of the people, and then he's raised back to life again. Now, following that resurrection, there's two girls, Susie and Lucy. Okay, and Aslan says, we've got a long journey to go, and you need to ride on my back. So Susan climbs up on the back of Aslan, and she's hanging on to his neck for his mane. Okay. And then Lucy Hyde jumps up on behind, and she's hanging on to Sue. And here they are with this lion and Aslan, going across the countryside, and the two girls hanging on. Susie on to the mane, and Lucy hanging on to Sue. That's a great picture of the church of God. Being led by Jesus Christ, and us hanging on to Him, and His foundation, and us hanging on to one another. But you can see that picture of the lion and the two girls sitting on there, one hanging on, the other hanging on to the middle. That's a true picture, I believe, of what the church should be like. And that's the challenge that we're giving today. Jesus wants us to be mature. God has provided all of these things to see it happen. Are you becoming more and more mature in Christ?